What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast that you can subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, too, actually. And all of our shows are archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org. Produced at your number one public radio jazz station, maybe on this planet, WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Today we have a very special show for you, something I've been holding on just for the right time. And this is the right time because right now we are celebrating jazz public radio. Where else are you going to hear music like this? FKJ, French Kiwi Juice, a performance that he recorded high up in the Andes on the Bolivian salt flats. On today's show, we get a rare interview with the one-man orchestra and internet phenom, talking about this specific concert in the clouds. In fact, I got acquainted with this media on my visit last March to South Africa. That's where I saw FKJ for the first time. If you make a pledge today, like in the next 48 hours, you'll get a chance to win a trip with us, WBGO, to go to South Africa. And maybe you'll get a chance to see an artist like FKJ. Our volunteers are standing by right now, so give us a call. Support Jazz Public Media. Support The Checkout in all of its form as a broadcast, as a podcast. Go to WBGO.org. right now, or call at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. When the French multi-instrumentalist boarded a plane to Bolivia in February, that's earlier this year, he knew he was on the verge of making something for the ages. Along with a crew from the live streaming channel Circle, he was headed to Salar de Uyuni, the world's largest salt flat. It's located 12,000 feet above sea level, and it's one of the most visually stunning places on Earth, especially during the month of February, when only a few inches of water cover its vast 4,000 square mile surface. The glassy top creates a perfect reflection of the sky, an optical illusion of sorts, as if one is floating in the clouds or resting in the middle of a vast placid ocean. The artist, his birth name, Vincent Fenton, knew this prehistoric lake would be a concert site unlike any other. So he and his manager, Kate Cuthbertson, sent its Google Map coordinates to the folks at Circle. They actually didn't think Circle's production team would accept such an outrageous challenge. Just to pull this off was a small miracle given the unpredictable weather of the Andes. He only had one day to accomplish the shoot. A lot of looping is required to make his brand of house jazz with all of its moving parts, but Fenton doesn't prefer to be labeled as a so-called loop artist, but rather a musical layerer, a texturer, bringing these elements together into a landscape of sound. And it's even more stunning when you see this music on video. If you go to our website, checkoutjazz.org, and see this 90-minute performance at one of the natural wonders of planet Earth. I should also mention FKJ kicks off his European tour beginning October 1st. You can go to his website for more information. But now we bring you our conversation with FKJ. Thank you. Who needs albums these days when you can just drop a whole performance on YouTube or social media for the chance of a million views or more, in this case, with FKJ, French Kiwi Juice. And on February 25th, 2019, I would like to say you made a little cultural history with your set that you performed, Salar de Uyuni, in the Andes, Southwest Bolivia. And it's just one of the most remarkable pieces of media that I've ever seen in my life. Gives me great pleasure to welcome Vincent Fenton on the checkout. Thank you for being here backstage at Webster Hall, New York City.
No worries. My pleasure, man.
Let's just take you right to the beginning of this majestic performance, you on the Fender Rhodes. Vincent Fenton, FKJ. So here we are on this prehistoric lake. Mm-hmm. If you watch this video by going to our website, checkoutjazz.org, do you understand the science behind the direct reflection? Like why it looks like you're performing in the clouds or in the middle of the sea?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we chose this place. We were looking for, magical nature place. The point was really to do a one-man show with no audience. That was really the point, in the most inspiring nature place. So we searched for a lot of different places and ended up picking this one. And then Circle wanted to do something for a long time, and they've been proposing places.
But that's the media company from France.
Yeah.
That helped produce this thing.
And they proposed me a lot of places, and I wasn't really down for the places they proposed, so my manager and I looked for places, and then we were like, we find this place. Do you want to do it?
And their production team proverbially themselves because of the production demands that might have required.
Oh, yeah. It was a mission, so.
I mean, that's like 19 people were there.
Yeah, something like this. It was a big mission for them, for sure. We were all thinking there was like probably a 50% chance that it wouldn't happen, that we would all go there and on the spot, because it was our only day. We could do it, really.
And you have to take into consideration inclement weather and everything
else. Yeah, so it was the only day because I couldn't do another day because I had to go back to my home at this time. I had to. And then I was on tour the whole month before, and then after I was doing this US tour. So it was really that moment where the lake was a mirror, because it's only during the beginning of the year that the lake is a mirror, then it becomes salt again. So there was only this moment, and there was only this day also, because, I mean, this week and also this day, because it was the only day that the weather was good, the day after it rained, after the performance. So we were like, yeah, there might be a 50% chance that it doesn't work because of electricity or internet or cold. Yeah, you know, if it's too cold, I can't play either. So.
And you were kind of freezing ass off.
At the end, I was freezing.
You were completely red.
Yeah. I was freezing at the end, but I was sunburned at the beginning because, it was just, there was no cloud. It was just hitting me.
Thank you. also unprecedented, an instrumental video getting this kind of views. I don't really know another analogy, at least in common times. What do you see as the secret formula of how you've been able to crack this code with this massive online response?
I think people just enjoy seeing instrumentalists, you know, like people play instruments that's can become rare, you know, in this scene, in the electronic scene in particular. They don't get to see it that much, so when they see it, I guess, interesting.
Well, let's get into your instrumentalism, your multi-instrumentalism, which I think is really interesting. You know, I interview a lot of virtuosos, many of whom loop themselves. Andrew Bird, I'm sure you're familiar with Jacob Collier.
Yeah.
Who's also been on this show. And you probably wouldn't admit it, but you strike me as you might have been a child prodigy. I'm not sure. I couldn't read anything about it. But you don't flaunt your multi-instrumentalism. There's a kind of simplicity in at least the approach that you take. You're not trying to show off that you can play all these instruments.
No, it's not the point. I think the point is to just... Yeah, I'm not considering myself as a pianist or as a saxophonist or as a guitarist. I'm more like, I'm just more making music pieces, like layering stuff and making music pieces. So I'm not trying to show off. You know, when I pick up an instrument, I'm more trying to make the whole thing interesting. I didn't start when I was a kid. I started like around 13 years old to play instruments. And I didn't study anything like theory and stuff. So I'm not excellent at any of the instruments I play. I'm just comfortable at all of them. So I don't really have anything to show off, really, because I'm not a virtuoso at those instruments. I'm just comfortable with all of them and trying to do something with all of these elements.
Well, in some respects, I think you are a virtuoso, at least ahead of your time when it comes to where it all comes together through Ableton and through the mixing and all the work that you're doing when you're not playing an instrument. I want to take our listeners and fast forward to a moment in your performance on the Salt Flats when you're playing Go Back Home and you're playing this electric bass figure and looping yourself, but then all the work really starts to happen then. Thank you. It's that very special transition and drop.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the magic, the climax that you're creating musically, it all builds to that moment. Right here, I can hear you figuring out, you're just making sure everything is in place for that moment.
Yeah. That particular moment, I've been repeating it quite a few because it just worked. The first time I did it was completely improvised. When I did it in the flat, it wasn't the first time I did it. I already did that kind of building up and putting this loop because it just worked great the first time. So that's basically what I'm doing live. I'm just trying out new things every night. And when something works, I can keep it for like a few shows. And then I'll just go to the, when I'm bored of it, I'll just go to the next one.
FKJ backstage at Webster Hall here on the checkout. Check out his record, French Kiwi Juice, also the commercial recording, talking about his performance at Salar de Uyuni for Circle. I think you're pretty good at the piano.
Piano is probably the one I'm the most comfortable. But my left hand is bad.
Your left hand is bad?
Yeah, because I never... When you take actual class, the teachers tell you to work the left hand, but I didn't, so I was just happy with the right hand, so I just keep practicing this one. So now it's way better. In my right hand, which is like, I'm right-handed, is way far above the left hand. But that's okay, you know? I just see it, you know? I can see what's the benefit of being self-taught and what's the negative effect of that.
This is obviously a jazz show, looking at the genre in a larger holistic way and how it sort of interacts in pop culture. Do you consider anything that you do in your performance jazz?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I have so much jazz influence in my music. Like, I learned to play the piano listening to jazz pianists. I learned to
play...
Like
who?
Like... Monty Alexander, Oscar Peterson, Thelonious Monk.
Take us to a Monty Alexander. Take us to a Monty Alexander track you were peeping.
Ah, I love the album he did, which is like just covers of Duke Ellington. It's just him and a bass player, and he covers Duke Ellington. I went to sleep with this record so much, so I was just falling asleep, and this record will enter my head. And I've listened to it so much, and I still love this album. I still listen to it now. I remember every little melody he did on this album. I was probably 15, 16.
Okay.
Yeah. And then pretty much all my instruments, the most I learned for all those instruments came from jazz records.
Very
so
cool.
What I'm playing I'm using everything that I learned with those jazz records. So that's where the jazz comes from.
And how much of your set are you actually improvising in that you consider?
Maybe like, I don't know, maybe a fourth, like a quarter of the set, maybe.
A quarter of the set?
Yeah, maybe a quarter, yeah.
Because a lot of it seems extremely mapped out and calculated.
Yeah, even the improv, I know what I'm going to improv. The improv, I don't know what I'm going to improv, but I know when. There's a big debate on improvisation also. What's improvisation really? Because you basically, when you improvise, you're using tools that you know already. I'm not just pressing three random notes on the keyboard or playing three notes on the bass that are completely random. I'm playing them because I like this chord. I like this chord progression. I like this melody, you know? So the melody is unique most of the time. The rhythm, the BPM, the chord progression, is usually something I know already.
Well, let's listen to some of these beautiful melodies that you write. Let's take you to the 59-minute mark of this concert on the Salt Flats, and we'll talk about it afterwards. FKJ, backstage at Webster Hall.
There is something that I should tell you.
So you've cited Pink Floyd in the internet and D'Angelo as inspirations, I read in an interview. But I, you know, it's funny when I hear and trying to understand what you're doing, I hear like early Santana.
Oh, man, you spotted it. Crazy. That's crazy because I heard 2 days ago, I was walking in the street and Santana was playing. It was Samba Pati by Santana. And then it was literally 2 days ago and I stopped in the street and I was like, how did I never mention Santana in an interview? Because Santana is such a big influence for me, and my parents are big fans of Santana, so I've been listening to all his records, and he's a huge influence. But I've never, ever talked about it in interviews, and I was like, how could I forget this? So it's crazy that you talk about it right now.
Well, I hear the blues in everything you do. Like, I feel like that's the one thing that combines all of these genres. It always goes back to the essence of the blues.
Yeah. B.B. King was a big one, too. I remember when I started the guitar, I was around 12, 13, and Samba Pati was the one I wanted to learn. And I went to Guitar Tab. That's how I learned the guitar, first with the tab, getting tabs on internet, and found the tab for Samba Pati, but it's so long. It's like, because I couldn't really do it by ear at the time, I didn't train it yet. So I just learned every single note of that song, yeah, and then followed with Black Magic Woman, etc.
KJ here talking about the blues. Have you been to West Africa? Have you heard like the fragments of the blues from West Africa?
No.
Those blues like Baba Mal, that kind of stuff?
I just can't wait to go there. This year was about the main, like touring America, touring Europe, and next year I just want to go deep into those culture, Africa, South America, and get the music from there.
I love this moment in the video, like about 19 minutes in, and you're just singing. And I feel like this moment during the film, you would never actually do during a live performance because you're just singing and looping yourself a cappella and singing in nature. I can play it for you.
Yeah, I can remember.
Now, I feel like, you know, that's a moment that you wouldn't get to in a live show. This would only happen in this video.
Yeah, since I made this video, that's true. Since I made this video, though, I've been to experience this more often during this tour, for example. I've been doing more of that stuff because that triggered those stuff that I didn't do before, but because I was with no audience. And it's like what I said earlier, something works, I would try it and probably do it in the two next shows. I would do it again, this idea. After the Uyuni set, a lot of things that I did on this set, I never did it before on the live show, and I started doing them, like layering my voice.
What other loop artists do you admire? I mean, there are a lot out there now that are sort of doing these things, instrumental loop artists. Do you look up to any early artists?
No, I mean, I'm not. I know, like, Jacob Collier is a great looping artist, and I really admire his work, but I'm not looking for an artist because he's looping. The only reason why I'm looping is because that's how I do in the studio, to compose really quickly. And it's how I do on stage because right now I don't have any musician with me. I'm thinking about it, but right now I don't have my show. How we created the show is me on my own. So I'm not like looping's the thing, not at all. I don't think looping is the thing. I think looping is gives you a lot of possibilities and also takes possibilities from compared to having a band. You know, I'm always building pieces of music. If I want to do a drop with guitar, bass, synth at the same time, I can't. I'm alone. I gotta build it. I gotta build the loop first of the guitar or the synth. So I'm not like, yeah, looping is the thing, and I'm gonna look at for every looping artist that does it. Not really.
Well, I feel like there's all these hidden tracks that are playing essentially, or metronome to what you're doing at any given time, that you are basically orchestrating like a symphony.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really like building up layers and then being able to like stop them, play them, and that's what I do. It's really fun to do.
Do you think you got that mentality from your days doing sound design in theater, or you used to score films, right?
Yeah, I used to score. It wasn't my main job. I had many jobs when I ended studying. Film scoring was one of them to, you know, sustain. But I was doing boom operating on shootings. I was doing like sound editing. I had many different caps from those years in cinema and TV school.
So that was your main training in college then, was media, basically?
Yeah, it was more like they were training us to work with these jobs, which is TV, you know? Some lucky ones could work in cinema. The other ones were just like working in the audiovisual, you know? But it's TV, like advertising and everything. And yeah, one of my jobs were like scoring for movies when directors would find me and I would do it. And yeah, I don't remember.
Can you take us to an FKJ score that we can listen to a little bit?
I probably like scored less than 10 movies or short movies, you
okay.
know? I don't think any of them are really good. And I don't get a great experience out of this phase of my life, which was just 1 year. This was basically between my studies and between when I started FKJ. And I was just like, damn, this is not what I want to do. I want to do music. I don't want a director coming to something I've worked hard on and tell me he doesn't understand it, or he tell me like he wants something. Basically, it's really, you have to find the right director fit, because there's a lot of directors that don't really know what they're talking about because they don't know much music. And most of my experiences were like this. I just couldn't have the right fit. And that's why I never, you know, get a trace of film I scored, and not really proud of it. And that pushed me to just do my thing. I wanted to be free of doing whatever I felt, but it definitely helped, and I don't regret that phase of my life at all.
One thing that I notice about you is the meticulousness. You play your parts, you nail them, you crush them. The syncopation is just right. Now, is that just because you're good, or do you practice that stuff?
Oh, it was something I learned, I guess, because they're not always good. And like some nights it's really bad. But I just learned over the years, you know, what I like in music. I don't like when there's like too many people talking at the same time. It's like the instruments, it's the same thing. You don't like when there's too many instruments talking at the same time. So I see a lot of the instruments as person, characters, and they all have a dialogue. And if you want to hear well the dialogue but have a good background for it, you better build this nice background with the other instruments and then say what you gotta say at any instrument that is played. So if I take the saxophone, I don't want guitar and piano to do like two completely different rhythm and placements of note. I want them to be together for what this instrument has to say, if that makes sense, you know?
It does make a lot of sense.
So that's what I learned through the years. If you listen to my very, very early music, I didn't learn that yet. You can see it's a lot of stuff going on. When I listen to it, I'm like, the idea was good. It's just maybe I put too much in there because, yeah, just to give some space, you know, music is a lot about silence, about between the notes.
Well, we're going to wrap things up with FKJ, and we thank him for his time backstage here at Webster Hall and sharing his music and his meteoric rise. If you were just at NASA, I understand. So I can use the word meteoric as your trajectory. It must have been just been a magical few years here in your, right? I mean, this all came together rather quickly.
You mean the whole sold out tour thing? Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean,
instrumental music, for Christ's sake.
It's like, I'm thankful, you know? I'm thankful, and because it was gradual and it didn't come like boom, didn't come in one time. It's been like a couple of years of doing it. I just been taking it pretty chill, you know, and I'm here, so I'm thankful, but at the same time things came together naturally, and I'm not in a ego trip or something like this where everything just blew up in one time.
Let's go out with, I love when you play this like bossa nova samba stuff towards the end.
It was not planned at all. It was
this was totally made up.
Yeah, this was totally made up.
This whole beat was made up? No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. The whole thing was made up. Most of the thing in the video is made up on the spot.
The way the syncopation hits on those beats, the implied polyrhythm, is absurd. It's like you said, you crush the part, and I'm like, wow. Or maybe that's it. It was so made up, the rawness of it, it really comes through.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm glad you like it. Thank you. And it was the magic of the sun, you know, sunset. It gave me some good vibes.
Well, go and watch the video at Circle on the Bolivian Salt Flats. At this particular moment of the concert, FKJ's face is completely red, and he's acting like he's not freezing his ass off when he totally is. And it's just a magic moment musically. And I want to know when you start bringing this trio into the picture. Maybe that's when we can talk and work on a video together, because I'm really looking forward to seeing what you can do with a live band.
I would love that, actually. It will happen at some point.
FKJ, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to let the music run a little bit just so you could soak up the vibe. FKJ performing his 90-minute set on Salar de Uyuni, the largest salt flat on the planet in Bolivia. Can you hear the wind blowing? Right now during the video, the sun is setting and it is just absolutely spectacular. The colors reflecting off of the vast placid lake. Go to our website right now, check out jazz.org to watch the video. And I'd like to thank FKJ for joining us to talk about his craft and this epic shoot. He starts a tour in Europe beginning October 1st. Go to his website for more information, FrenchKiwiJuice.com. Plus, I'd like to give a huge shout out to the folks at Circle for allowing us to use this music for this podcast. All of our shows are archived on our homepage. Check out jazz.org. And there you can also find links to subscribe on Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. And definitely follow us on social media. Our Twitter handle, @checkoutjazz. I'm @SimonRentner. Produced @WBGO. And follow FKJ too. And don't forget to support Jazz Public Media. Where else are you going to hear inside conversations with FKJ, one of the hottest artists in instrumental improvisational music today? That number again, 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. We have a whole cadre of our lovely volunteers waiting to speak with you. Or just make it easy on yourself and go online to wbgo.org and make a contribution today. Support The Checkout. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.